Hey everybody, it's Amanda. Welcome or welcome back to the Park Ridge Presby Podcast, the message podcast of Park Ridge Presbyterian Church in Park Ridge, Illinois. We would love for you to experience a Sunday morning with us, or you can always connect with us on social media. We are Park Ridge Presby on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. We hope this message inspires your faith to make a difference for you every day.
Well, hey everybody, how's it going? Is it going okay today? Yeah? So Pastor Amanda is on a retreat with some of her seminary classmates, and so she will be back next week, so it'll be better next week, okay? But today you're stuck with me, all right? Is that okay just for one time around?
Yeah!
Oh, thank you. All right. I love you guys. All right, so hey, last Sunday was what big sports event? Anybody remember? Alyssa? The Super Bowl. Yes, they played that funny sport called football, and there were two teams. Anybody remember? It was. I'll just tell you this one. Oh, you got it.
49ers and the Chiefs.
The 49ers and the Chiefs. I have done my duty, everybody. We have indoctrinated them as sports fans. All right. Well, you know, I love sports, right? And everybody here knows that because I talk about sports too much in my sermons, right? Some people think that. But anyway, so here's the thing. Last Sunday, I was getting ready to watch the Super Bowl, and it was 4 o'clock, and the game was kicking off at 5:30, and I realized I forgot to do something. You know what it was? What? Oh, thank you. Yeah, this is great. Yes, what was it? Thank you for asking. I forgot to set up the TV here at church. Doesn't that sound a little funny? Right? Because who would be here on Sunday nights to watch the Super Bowl? The people who come to Sunday night suppers. I had talked with Pastor Amanda about making sure we could watch the Super Bowl because some of them really like sports, and I really like sports, and I thought to myself, well, I like sports, and people know that I like sports, and I said we'd try to watch it, and so you know what Will and Hannah and I did? We raced down here, not breaking the speed limit. Please follow the rules, okay? There's a couple of cops out there, all right? So just remember that, okay? And you know what we did? We came and we set up the big screen for the people in the family center so they could watch the Super Bowl. And you know what? They really enjoyed it. Isn't that pretty cool? But here's what I'm telling you that story is. I was sitting there in my kitchen. I was talking to Will and Hannah. And I said, guys, if you were at church on Sunday night during the Super Bowl, would you want to watch the Super Bowl? And you know what they said? They said, yeah, that's right, Alyssa. They said, yes. And I said, guys, will you come and help me? Can we race to church and get back for kickoff at Grandma and Grandpa's house so that we can watch the Super Bowl with our family and make sure that these people, these our guests, have the best experience they can? You know what Will and Hannah said? Yes. And they came and they helped, and everybody got to watch the Super Bowl here. And that's a pretty fun story about how we want to treat our guests who come to Sunday night suppers. Now, here's a little secret. I almost didn't come because Amanda said, it's okay if you don't come. And I said, well, I think I better come and take care of this because these are our guests and these are our neighbors and we want to do the right things by them. So that's my little story about how I did the right thing for Sunday night suppers. And later on in the service, I'm going to tell how I did the wrong thing for Sunday night suppers at another time. Okay? So here's a little secret. I don't always get it right. And you know what? God still loves me even because of that. Despite that. And so I just want to remind us of that too, okay? Is that a neat little story about how we got it right once and how Pastor Josh got it wrong another time? You have to ask your parents about that later, okay? All right, but can I close this in prayer and then you guys can head off to Sunday school and the students can go to their spots as well? Sound good? All right, let's pray. Gracious God, we thank you for today. We thank you for helping us be here. We thank you for our friends who are here and our family who are here. And we pray that you help us to continue to do right by our guests who come to Sunday night suppers and remember that they're our neighbors and that they're people just like us. We pray this in your son's name, and all God's people said, amen. All right, guys, thanks for coming on down and enjoy your time at Sunday school. So I mentioned earlier that last Sunday I maybe had a Sunday night supper moment that I'm proud of, but I also have a Sunday night supper moment that I'm not so proud of. And I'd like to share with you my not so proud moment at this point, if that's okay. I had the opportunity to serve at Sunday night suppers less than a handful of times so far. We have been rotating around that responsibility, but I've been able to go a few times. And after I've greeted, because like that's the only thing that a senior pastor is really good at like a thing like this, is to shake hands, you know, and kiss babies. Then I float back into the dining room to help with the food cleanup. Specifically, we're doing some composting things, and so there's extra hands are needed there. And so as I was going around towards the end of the meal the night I was there, I was picking up the dirty plates that were then going to be composted and help clean that up, and I found myself making my way to the last table kind of people that were there. And then I found myself entering into this conversation, and one of the guests turned and said to me, "Well, that's a nice watch you have." And I was kind of taken aback in the moment. I wasn't really thinking about anything in particular. And I actually will tell you that I don't think of my watch as being particularly nice, as it were. It's a $100 watch, nothing spectacular. I got it for my 30th birthday. I have a pattern of getting one of these every 10 years because, you know, I figure like $10 a year. You know, nobody can begrudge a pastor a watch that's $10 a year, you know, whatever. It's one of those like chunky ones that, you know, my father-in-law likes to make fun of when I wear or whatever. But he said to me in that moment, "That's a nice watch. What brand is it?" I was like, "Well, this is getting personal." And I said, "Guess." And he started to guess the brand. That's not what happened. It's a Guess brand watch. Okay, so I said it's Guess brand, and I told him it was a birthday gift from my wife, and you know, so on and so forth. And then he looks at me and he goes, "Well, I'm a watch collector." And I was pretty taken aback at that moment. So I did what any pastor should do. I got on my high horse, got on my high pedestal, and thought to myself, "Well, if you're a watch collector, what are you doing at Sunday night suppers?" Fortunately, I did not say any of those things, of course. I then proceeded to just sort of go about it, and he said, "Yeah, I have two watches." I got off my high horse in that moment, and I got back down onto the ground that I should have been on in the first place. And I said, "That's interesting. I have two watches also. I have this one and a sports watch." And that was the end of the conversation, fortunately, because I was super embarrassed and ready to move on. I kept on clearing the dishes. And I realized in that moment that I had some learning to do and some growth to do about my understanding about the guests of Sunday night suppers. I had this moment, and I want to call it my Sunday night supper moment, my Sunday night supper story, that is this moment where I learned for myself once again what it means to be part of a church that is hosting Sunday night suppers, what it means to be part of a church that has opened up their doors in a collaboration with many other churches and many other organizations, but what it means to have these guests come into our building, what it means to be a part of this, and this is my embarrassing Sunday night supper story. And I hope that you don't have an embarrassing Sunday night supper story. I hope you might find yourself having one where you show up and set up the TV for the Super Bowl or whatever your version of it is, and you realize that you are serving people who are guests. That you realize, and better than I do, that these people are equal to you, and that the only difference between you and them is that you have enough, that I have enough food, that I don't go hungry, and that they don't have enough food, and that they go hungry. That's the only difference between them and me. Now, if you could go into the story with me that Jesus is interacting with Peter and some of these disciples, let me bring you up to this moment that helps us, I think, understand better yet what it means to be part of the Sunday Night Supper ministry. And whether you've been a part of it or not directly, you're a part of it indirectly because our congregation is a part of this ministry. And so it's a reminder to me about how to understand all of us in light of God's love and light of God's grace is specifically found in this story of Peter and the disciples with Jesus on this side of the sea. Now, let me set the stage for just a moment in this story. What's happening here is that Peter and Jesus are having a breakfast post-resurrection. So Jesus has died, Jesus has come back, and Jesus is kind of getting things set back up. And he has this conversation with Peter after they have breakfast, and he encourages him and directs him to understand what his role is going to be. And he says to him in three form, just so he doesn't miss it and just so we don't miss it, he asks him if he loves him. And then he says, yes, Lord, I love you. And then Jesus says to him, feed my sheep. And he does it again. He says, do you love me? And he says, yes, Lord, I love you. Well, then tend my sheep. And he does it one more time. He says, Peter, do you love me? And this is why, like I said there, Peter gets offended because he says, Jesus, you know everything. You know that I love you. And then he says, feed my sheep. Now, Peter is the recipient of this charge. But the reality is that Peter understands himself to be a sheep like the rest of us. Peter understands himself probably to be the least of the sheep, because let's remember who Peter is. Peter is the one who has denied Jesus three times, that he doesn't even know him in the hours leading up to Jesus' death on the cross. Peter's the one who has had more foot and mouth moments than you care to remember. Maybe that's incidentally why I feel such an identification with Peter, because it's like he's my favorite character sometimes, but we can move on from that. But the reality is Peter would not have understood his charge to feed the sheep as a way to differentiate himself from the sheep. It would have understood himself to be the one as a sheep himself who is called to feed the other sheep. Because in the middle of what is going on here, we have to remember that it's Jesus who is the great shepherd, not Peter and not any of us. And when we remember that Jesus is the great shepherd, it means that we are all sheep. It means that we are all equal. We are all sheep when Jesus is the great shepherd. And no one of us is more important than another because of who we are or what we are. Because we all need God's grace. We all need the great shepherd. And what that means for us is that we all have the same needs before Christ as well, right? It doesn't mean that just because you have some need and somebody else has any other need that they're better than you or you're worse than them, or somebody because they are hungry is better than you or worse than you. We all have the same needs before Christ. And what that means for us is that we are all equal in Christ as well. That we shouldn't look at ourselves and get on a high horse because of something that we are or we're not. We shouldn't get down too far because of something we aren't or are not. But we should remember that we are all equal in Christ. And when we can do that, then we are able to live into the call that is placed on those who have enough to make sure that those who do not have enough have what they need. Now, if we can keep this in mind, then you can avoid your embarrassing Sunday Night Supper moment, or have a story, and you can have a healthy and happy one. So if we can keep this in mind together, that this is really about sheep serving sheep, that everything we do is a matter of God's grace and God's mercy, then hopefully we can see that Sunday Night Supper is about sheep serving sheep. That Sunday Night Supper is about people serving people. That understanding that they and we are not a sum of our circumstances, that labels should not go with people to define who they are, but rather the only label we need is a beloved child of God. That we are sheep loved and guided by the great shepherd, and some sheep have what they need, and some sheep do not have what they need. And the sheep who have what they need are called to make sure that the sheep who do not have what they need get those things. Now, I share this story with you and my embarrassing moment to highlight this very important thing that Jesus teaches, and the thing that highlights for us what God wants is that God calls us to be meeting the needs of those who are in need. And specifically through Sunday Night Suppers, we have a special opportunity that God has blessed us with that I want to share and remind ourselves of, which about how this gives us an opportunity to not only transform the world, but also to have an opportunity to transform our lives as well. Because there's something very special about what it means to be the co-host and the host site of Sunday Night Suppers, this Sunday night program that we do, that is something that I don't want us to miss, because it helps us to reduce who we are so God can increase. And this is that very special thing about how we frame it up, and this is the very special thing about what it reminds us and how we can live into this reality that we're all sheep, that we're sheep serving sheep, people serving people. And it's this. That Sunday Night Supper is indeed a shared meal with no questions asked. We don't ask a single thing of any guest before they walk into the building whether they're going to have the meal or not. And there's a very important reason that we do this. The first of which is it's part of God's call on our lives to be charitable and gracious and open-handed. But the other reason is we can't know who is in need of food because the way that people come to Sunday night suppers is an open-handed process. And the reason is because Sunday night suppers is a ministry that is called to deal with something that is better known as food insecurity. Now, food insecurity is a term that we hope that you can get your heads around, that we can get in our heads around together. And food insecurity is simply this. It's a state of being without reliable access to a sufficient quantity of affordable, nutritious food. To be food insecure is a state of being without reliable access to sufficient quantity of affordable and nutritious food. Last week, Pastor Amanda kicked off this series trying to help us understand a big piece of what it means to think about people as people and not as people of their circumstances. And so one of the ways that this can help us is to say we don't want to talk about people who are hungry. We don't want to say hungry people. We want to understand that they are food insecure, that their state of access to reliable food or nutritious food does not define who they are. Food insecurity can ebb and flow. Food insecurity can be lack of access to one sufficient meal a week. It can be a lack of sufficient meals throughout the whole week. It could be someone who is on subsidized lunch at school. It could be someone who gets breakfast at school every day. And you know what's interesting about food insecurity? It has no profile. You can't look at someone and go, they're food insecure. You can't look at where someone lives and assume they have the food they need, just as well as you can't assume where they live means that they don't have the food they need. And addressing food insecurity means that we have to have ministries where we are serving people with no questions asked. Because otherwise, we will start to do what I did, is to assume that when they tell you that they're a watch collector, they don't belong. When in reality, anybody who is food insecure is welcome into this. Now, the other thing that happens because we do this with no questions asked is we do have a sense that there are other challenges that people are facing, that they are facing what we would say is housing and being housing insecure or relationship insecure. But because we don't ask any questions on the way in, we can't know these things for certain. We're not called in this particular way to meet those particular challenges. We do that through other places where we do people development work, where we do housing development work with our mission partners. I thank God every day for our mission leadership and the way they help us go through this. But what we're doing through Sunday night suppers is helping try to end food insecurity. Because we're sheep serving sheep. We are people serving people. And when we can remember this, we can remember that we are doing our part to help end housing insecurity. Now, Karen is holding up something that I can't read. Sunday night supper sign-up sheets. Yeah, I'm getting to that. Okay. Thank you. Karen, can you put your hand up and wave that folder just so you know who Karen Luckering is? All right, thank you. Here's the beautiful thing, is one of the challenges we face in the world today is food insecurity. And because we are who we are as a congregation, it's because we are who we are as a group of people, we have a front row seat to helping end food insecurity through Sunday night suppers. And the reason is it gets rid of this notion that our neighbors do not have food insecurity. There's a sense sometimes amongst us that we think that food insecurity is out there, that our most immediate neighbors don't have this problem. A quick survey of Maine Township Food Pantry will tell you that neighbors in our immediate sphere of influence have this problem, that they struggle with food insecurity. It may not be as prevalent in our most immediate area, but it is here. But something has changed for us. We have new neighbors. And they're here every Sunday night. 34 weeks a year, 33 Sundays a year, they are here. They are our neighbors. They are our guests. Sheep serving sheep. We can no longer say that our neighbors are not food insecure. Our neighbors are here on Sunday night, and they are food insecure. And we're doing our part to help them. So what this means for us is that we have an opportunity to serve those who are in need immediately and directly. We have an opportunity to build relationships with our neighbors so that they can know that they are loved and that they are not forgotten. We have an opportunity to come back to the place where clearly I know you already know how to get there, but you can come back on Sunday nights at 4:45 p.m., previously having signed up, hopefully, with Karen or Pastor Amanda, so they know who's coming. But it's an opportunity for all of us to engage in ending food insecurity for our neighbors, for people that we can call our guests, and for people that we can have a reality with that they are no different than we are. They have different needs than we do. They have different struggles than we do, perhaps, but some of them are the same. And so my invitation and my hope for you is that by the time Sunday Night Suppers has been here long enough, that every one of us has a Sunday Night Supper story. That every one of us can say, I have been in a relationship, however briefly, or however one-off, or two times it might be, that every one of us can say, I have a Sunday Night Supper story. Or maybe you serve somewhere else already, and you are confronted with food insecurity and what you do elsewhere. And maybe it's not going to be a Sunday Night Supper story, but you're going to be able to continue to say to yourself and to others, I'm a sheep serving sheep, ending food insecurity. I'm a sheep serving sheep, ending housing insecurity. I'm a sheep serving sheep, ending relational poverty. These are the things that God wants us to reach out to. And these are the things that God wants us to engage in and bring about an end. Because these are the ways in which we can see that the world is not the place that God wants it to be. And these are the places and these are the ways that God has called us to engage our neighbors, so that they know that they are loved, and so that they know they are cared for. Amen.
Hey, thanks again for listening today. If you'd like to hear more from us, you can subscribe to this podcast or find us on Instagram, Facebook, or YouTube. We are at Park Ridge Presby on all platforms.